Hawkins back in the day. Remember that story came out? They goes like, you know, Connie still owe me $35. You know, like.
I don't mean, step back. I'll move in with the left, come back to the right, whack out.
Send the link.
Welcome to Send a Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain, co-pilot, and co-subway rider, DJ. How are you doing this gloomy first day of real fall?
It's been about a 30-degree drop. I went from see a sucker to a parka in a day.
It's been wild in New York. That hit you like a ton of bricks real quick.
Yeah, but we're still out here subway surfing.
Indeed. Making it out here, man.
Of course.
Despite the struggles of, I don't know, the world. There's a lot of shit going on, and, you know. I've been trying to keep tabs. We always talk about what's going on the pod.
Latest feeds and reads.
The latest feeds and reads. And I was like, damn, what happened this week? And I realized that I wished that, I guess, my guy, friend of the pod, your friend of our pod, right?
Probably.
Who? Big Burn Dog. Not to, you know,
Uncle Bernie.
Be the bearer of bad news, but Bernie Sanders had to have a stent in play. Implanted. Yeah, I was going to say emplaced, which isn't a word.
Not quite a word.
The past few days because of, I guess, overwork and need a health scare. And they were like, listen, we want to just immediately take you to do that. And they found out they need to actually implant this stent as opposed to, you know, monitoring it or watching him over the next few weeks or so.
A stent in somewhere in his heart, right?
Yes.
Right, to help somehow with, like, blood flow.
Yes,
or
for his
palpitations or something.
For his valve. So it's scary when one of your leading candidates has a health scare, one of the leading proponents of a progressive movement that's been flourishing over the past 5 years or so.
The fervent and purportedly rising left.
Rising left.
Led by the millennials.
The millennials.
Yeah.
The millennials are still leading that? Just checking in.
Yeah, and Generation Y, right?
Okay.
Generation Z.
Zion.
Name. Zion Williamson?
No, Zion. The niggas under the Matrix.
doing the sex dance shit.
that's them. We, a while ago on the pod, I don't know if you remember this, we did a nice game of Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Yeah.
And you do remember this.
Yeah.
And what did we decide on our political game of Fuck, Marry, Kill, DJ?
I think we came down along the same lines, right?
Well, we did.
What did we say? I know, like, the gist
because,
of the three.
Because, just three. Listeners, just to give you some backstory.
Okay.
We did this very early in the campaign.
Too early.
Too early. It's still too early.
Still too early.
But at this point, there was maybe 20 people running for president.
Yeah, literally.
And at that time, we were able to narrow it down to essentially what we have now,
which
was like 6 to 8 months ago.
Right. And we did the Fuck, Marry, Kill for the three front runners, right? Three between Joe Biden, Liz Warren, and Bernie Sanders.
Right.
Right. Where'd you come down? I know we wanted to kill Joe Biden. I know that. I forgot who the fucking and the marrying was, but that's kind of interchangeable. Maybe were we fucking Bernie Sanders? I think we.
Yeah.
I think I was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we Marion Liz Warren. Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah.
So we're on the same page.
Okay.
And politics aside, and who we wanted to win or anything like that, it's really devastating to see somebody that, you know, we love enough to fuck.
Attracted enough.
To really suffering this. But like Jennifer Rubin, her piece in Washington Post, how campaigns should handle health questions after health scares, it kind of gave a nice broad thought to a lot of shit that we all been talking about, we've all understood about this political contest that we kind of throw out there here and there when we want to be snarky or make a little commentary. But the reality is, these motherfuckers are old.
Yeah, each of the three frontrunners, yeah. Over 70.
They're all old, including, and the villain is old too.
Yeah, Trump is the oldest out of all of them, I think, or just about. So he's like 72.
He's
73.
He's in the midst of.
He's old.
Of this.
He's older than his mother-in-law.
This is bad. He's a bad man. that's what we should get to. Like, it's all this deep state shit right now. All the internal machinations of backstabbing, all kinds of bullshit. That's got to be the mole. Mr. Kovacs. What is their names? Mr. Knobs, Melania's father.
They're the Knobs?
The Knobs. That's their...
Oh, the Knobs.
No, it's K-N-A-V-S.
Oh, like Knobs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're Slavic. But Mr. Knobs.
Yeah.
Melania's dad. He gotta be the mole.
He's a deep state mole.
Yeah, he's gonna.
I thought it was a Baron Trump.
One of them going garrot Trump in the fucking on the toilet, come out the tub and shit. Ah, ass. Thank you. But it's a thing where it's like, yeah, we gotta have precautions. We have plans. We gotta have a level of protocol for handling not only the age of a prospective president, but the way campaigns are run is like, do we need to do all these certain things? Do we need to be traveling and all that? Could we agree to some sort of terms or practices or norms that are less intensive? Not only for the fact that they're older, but just that, is it really good for anybody to be doing this shit?
Right, because even without totally referencing your piece, the prototypical presidential campaign in the U.S. has continually just grown outward over the literal hundreds of years and become this massive multi-million-dollar, damn near billion-dollar effort in which you have one individual traversing the entire United States to varying degrees of effectiveness for the sake of like political posterity. And it's at the point now where it's really, regardless of the most fit of us, it's a massive grind physically and mentally to just do that persistently over the course of what looks to be like a year and a half or 2 years that these campaigns take place now at this point. So no matter if you're, I don't know, who's supposed to be like super healthy, Paul Ryan or some shit, doesn't you like P90X or you're
doing curls and shit.
Yeah, or you're, you know, Bernie Sanders, who... You got to remember, Bernie Sanders used to hoop with Coney Hawkins back in the day. Remember that story came out? They go, yeah. Like, you know, Connie still owed me $35. You know, like.
I don't mean, step back. I'll move in with the left, come back to the right, whack out.
Mike Breen, he got banged for me. Bang, motherfucker. So, in a way, if you think about it, though, it is damn near, it's not even really a test, because I fell over myself twice doing that when I had an epiphany, but then I'm like, this is some bullshit, because once you become president, you're the most feted person in the world. They do have to go through a similar physical and mental grind in terms of always presenting oneself and moving around, but you're in a much more luxurious confines. Yeah. And it's not as extensive.
Because you know what I saw today, I was watching a video of Liz Warren, and they were just commenting like, she in the airport with no security. She's like left her like plane, was waving people, and there was like MAGA people, they're just like harassing her. And then like, and then people always talk about on these campaigns where it's like the point where they get like Secret Service. They're like, oh, so now at this point in the campaign, so and so is going to be getting Secret Service. So it's not.
So up to this point, they're still vulnerable.
It's like you still get touched out.
Any surround can come and just, you know, take you out. Unfortunately,
but like you'd have to pay for that. You got to pay for all these staffers, and it's people are sleeping. The staffers are sleeping head to head in these things. So it's not like you're saying when you become president, it's like at the end of the day you're still president. So you're doing all the luxurious shit. You have it's
super mad security. Everything is checked and laid out for you.
I mean, being on tour in general is trash. If you've heard any artists talk about it, like it's just like it's a grind. So. Age, all that aside, it's too tough. I don't even know who would be the most fit person right now. I don't know, Castro or somebody. Just like a younger.
Yeah, Cory Booker was an academic All-American. I don't know. And he's vegan.
I'm vegan.
He's vegan. All in the Kool-Aid. What the fuck are you talking about?
Rosario makes a good tagine.
Shout out to tagine. Tagine be hitting them. I don't know about the vegan one, but
I mean, it is vegan.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Nah, I get the lamb tagine.
You don't have to.
Okay. Yeah. So, weirdly enough, these grueling campaigns combined with our aging set of presidential frontrunners, at least on the Democratic side this time, have unfortunately kind of started to grind people out, or at least due to the media climate and the persistent attention put on people, it started to grind out a couple of people. The main two, obviously, Bernie in this case, unfortunately, I doubt that he would have had these type of health issues if he hadn't been campaigning over this past year and for like a year and a half in 2016.
Right.
And remember the entire like right wing cycle when news cycle when
Hillary
fainted and shit. It was hot outside.
They were like, yes.
Right. So it becomes part of the campaign itself when especially these older candidates have actual health issues like this, and it can't be completely dismissed and whatnot. Like it is an actual talking point now, and that's why coming out of this, as much as I like Bernie and a lot of his policies, I don't want to like overly pundit it and say what I would do, because to be honest, I've thought about it a bit. If the primary came, I probably still would vote for him. I don't think he's going to become the nominee now, just because right. People are going to like count this in now. Like, what if this motherfucker dies? You know what I'm saying? So, and when you're doing the primary, they're not primarying you as a presidential candidate and your vice president, or at least nobody has come as a package deal right now. So if we're just looking at the entity of Bernie Sanders, a lot of people that may be a little bit more projecting or calculated or even cynical will discount this against Bernie that he had this health scare, because, you know, he may not be there in the long run over the course of the next 4 years.
Damn.
When he'll be like over 80.
I mean, for me to be cynical, I felt that way 4 years ago. and not because like I was anticipating him being sick or anything like that. I just feel like I'm concerned about him. And then everyone always talks about the president and like, oh, look how much they change over there. Like, right. I don't want the presidency to be grinding this old man down in the dust. I don't want to see that. And I like him.
See him wilt over time over this, like 3 months.
You see this man just turn over like a flower. Like, it's not ideal for me. And I knew at the time, I was like, well, Hillary will have, you know, she'll be vacuuming blood from penises or whatever, stay alive. So that's fine. But in terms of the rest of the candidates, what I like what Ruben said is like, maybe we could have a thing where on top of what we've seen happen with Hillary and what happened with Bernie, to establish standards going into the presidency that Trump, all these people, if you're going to run, yes, you have to release some kind of medical records. I know it's like, oh, it's a privacy thing. Well, but like the idea that you're putting yourself out there in terms of a public figure, what is a public figure supposed to do? If you're supposed to be the main person, like, shit, athletes get physicals.
Yeah, well,
there has to be some sort of protocol between that and the amount of work these people have to do. I just need something. And maybe it goes into the entirety of these campaign reforms that not only money, but in terms of the structure and format of them can be shifted to.
Yeah, that may be a worthwhile change, because as of right now, I mean, even Trump himself, remember, he did kind of do what you said, in which he had his quack of a doctor put out this ridiculous health for exam saying, you know, if he were elected president, he'll be the healthiest person of all time to ever be elected, or some ridiculous shit.
That ridiculous doctor was up there chilling and shit.
Yeah, and he admitted later on after the fact that he was pressured into doing it, just as we all expected, because it was just absurd on his face. And so considering that, and considering just the way party systems are set up on the whole, if someone that is popular chooses not to abide by it, if you don't have the institutional systems in place, or particularly like the law or some type of bylaws that, you know, like the control for that, then they just won't do it, or they'll just bullshit it like he did.
And we've learned that it works.
Right, exactly. Definitely just like disobeying norms and right now. It seems to be the thing to do, because if you don't have like people on your team holding you to account, then who's going to stop you from doing that? At the end of the day, the elections are just a popularity contest, and Trump was just more popular throughout like more states. That's how he wanted to win it.
So if we're going to talk about the prospects for my wife, Liz Warren, and how this shit has affected Bernie's chances because health scare being actually real. On the flip side, we've got the, I don't know, kamikaze bomb of Hunter Biden and that's going to take down Trump and...
You know, I read the Hunter Biden, the much discussed now Hunter Biden profile in the New Yorker like a couple months ago, and I didn't think I didn't view it as being pod worthy, but I was like, this nigga like has done like a lot of wild shit. He's just kind of like the black sheep of his family.
I know about this because I didn't want to dive too much in. I was crack. Like, he's obviously shady. Just from the fact that you're in Ukraine, I just can't fuck with you off GP. But I'm also like, I don't have morals for these type of niggas that live in movie circles. I was like, oh, this is what they do. They go to different countries, they sign oil deals or shake hands with niggas and
the casual corruption and swampiness of powerful people and especially those in Washington and connected and close to power.
But unlike someone like Trump and his family who were like Kushner, all these motherfuckers are billionaires and stuff like that. I was like, Joe Biden, I didn't think his son would have that kind of flex. I think his son would be some kind of like the other son, his son that died, like, oh, yeah. I'm going to be a senator. Like, you know, I'm going to be a congressman, like shit like that. I didn't think. Young Bo. I think he was out here flexing in, you know, Ukraine. So when I heard that, I was like, okay, this is bad.
So in general context, in case you didn't know, about a week out, Trump is being impeached. Wow. Or at least he's under an impeachment inquiry.
Love to see it.
Apparently so. That was like an early birthday present for me. Maybe. We'll see. I think it's kind of a foregone conclusion once you get into this, but we'll see what type of rocks the House Democrats will be able to flip over the course of the next few weeks and months.
But, none voluntarily. I never seen somebody subpoena niggas' Eurostepping like, oh, subpoena? Stiffy.
It'll be kind of hard. They're going to just try to delay the whole shit and make everything shitty and do everything in bad faith and, you know, pull up a bunch of red herrings and avoiding blame and casting doubt, all that type of shit. The normal playbook for politics. But essentially, this all came from a weird conspiracy theory that Trump and Rudy Giuliani were trying to, you know, investigate, and they leveraged military aid against Ukraine and the new Ukrainian president in order for the Ukraine's president to potentially come up and provide more information or to potentially investigate Hunter and Joe Biden.
Right.
This was recorded on a phone call in which a lot of
Most
intelligence
people were like,
especially for Trump himself, because he's a moron, a lot of people sit in on the call and they either help or they take notes, or intelligence officials do it as well. So a whistleblower that has yet to be named basically heard about the full context of it through the grapevine and sent a whistleblower complaint that went undetected for, I guess, a couple of days or weeks somewhere in Washington. Eventually it blew up. All the news comes out and it shows a complete, you know, abuse of presidential power, Ray. So Nancy Pelosi comes forward and does a press conference at 5, I believe, last Tuesday, and announces a formal, not like the bullshit one that they were doing, but a formal impeachment inquiry. And this was all potentially based on Hunter Biden being on the board of a Ukrainian mining company or metal company some resource company, in which he was getting paid like $50,000 a month. So how does all this loop around? Trump and his, you know, right wing conspiracy hacks, they wanted to investigate this as a means of sullying and decreasing the chances of Joe Biden either becoming a presidential nominee on the Democratic side and or you know, him beating Trump in the presidential contest next year by continually bringing up. Hold on. What did you have? Just like more breaking news? It's all like the same shit because it's just.
But it's just hilarious.
Yeah, because it's just. Okay, so can you read the headline really quickly?
So CNN, Trump raised Biden with Xi in June call. June. This is prior to the one we're talking about now.
Yeah.
June call housing highly secure server.
Okay, so all this shit is somehow, just like with other things with politics, like simple to understand, but a lot of just weird nuance on the underhand. Essentially, he's just abusing his power, trying to get an American citizen fucking investigated and prosecuted by international bodies or governments. Completely inappropriate, especially for a president. It is bad, it's wrong. Nobody should do it. Republican, Democrat, whomever. So now we're at this point where, sure, Trump is feeling a lot of heat from this, or feeling a burn, as we say, and this is all an attempt to, you know, do harm, political harm to Joe Biden, regardless of if there was really some actual justice that would have been sought or attained, if there was really some malfeasance related to Hunter Biden's work and Joe Biden stepping in on behalf of his son to get the like the Attorney General of Ukraine at the time fired or whatever. This has all been debunked several times up to now. But nonetheless, what this does is it makes us all, and as we did here, have this type of conversation. And anything that is not good for you as a politician, you know, like speaking to your better side, is going to be bad and is going to cause a drag on you. It sets a drag in your sails. It kind of slows you down. So even if the conspiracy theory didn't fully work out and Joe Biden is not going to be actually formally prosecuted by anybody from, I mean, domestic or international, it, to me at least, has fucked him. I don't know about you, Brandon.
I agree.
But it's like this, especially because Trump is going to be very much most likely going to be impeached by this, by the House, which is an extremely serious thing. Even if, I mean, there'll be plenty of pods to go where, I don't know, we talk about whether he'll be convicted in the House. Basically, the way that the U.S. Constitution works when it comes to impeachment, which is basically a way of complaining and then removing a government official, where the House, they do this impeachment investigation. And then based on the information that is that is attained from the investigation and vote to affirm the articles of impeachment by the majority of the House, it goes to a trial in the Senate that is
it's
presided over by John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And based on the population of the Senate right now, and based on just normal political cynicism, where it appears, politics matters more than just the rule of law, because it's like, you know, or ethics or whatever the fuck. Nonetheless, nothing may come of it, right? Sure. But the word is still out there that there was some shady shit going on in the background connected to Joe Biden, right? So the deep cynics out there and the cynical media, cynical, you know, internet personalities or whatever, this is always going to follow him, especially being in parallel to the impeachment inquiry that's going on. Because every time that the impeachment inquiry is brought up, they have to bring up Joe Biden. And this is all in like a negative context. You get what I'm saying? So it's just
so if you're, too much, you know, negativity connected to his name. If you're the everyday average voter, like, I mean, I'm undecided. And he's like, Joe Biden, he's in there with Trump. He's, you know,
he's just as crooked as the rest of them.
They're all the same.
Right.
I'm going to go home.
And there is a smidget of validity to that. As we just said, it's that just casual corruption that happens within, you know, positions of power, especially in politics, and in which, in this case, his son, using his last name, used that juice to make tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars across the world over X amount of years. And it's gross, it's improper, but, you know, the way that the laws and ethics are set up right now, it's not illegal, not by any means. And a lot of people are doing it. And the president and himself and his family are also doing the same thing. So
while the president.
Yeah, and they're in office now. And also have not been held accountable for anything. There's no financial accountability. He's never released his tax returns. Joe Biden has just released like all of his tax returns. And he had done so already, even when he had been, you know, running for president and vice president in previous instances. So he's always been relatively clean on an individual level. But since his son has now been, he's not embroidered in actually, but his name has just been included in this shitty situation. It just causes a drag on you. And as you said, for that average guy, he just hears all these names in the abstract and he just throws his hands up or this is at least what is purported, right? Because I still don't know about these, like, fucking, you know, we think these undecided voters are kind of shitty people, but nonetheless, it's just like, they're like, oh, I don't know, I'm just going to throw my hands up. Maybe I'll just flip a fucking coin and whoever gets it.
It's all the same.
Yeah, it's just, you know, what's going to happen to me? So you have those guys, and then you also have the people that maybe are like one standard deviation away from us that are trying to project what that guy is going to do. So they're just going to nix that by just not trying to get, by not making Joe Biden the nominee.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Just trying to manipulate these people.
Right.
Like on the margins. Like, oh, okay, that's fine. Joe Biden, fall on your sword. That's fine. We don't need it to be you.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can use this political capital to, I mean, convince a rube that, you know, Bernie's the person, then fine.
Sure. I mean, that's a big swing. I mean, that's a big, like, political swing in terms of ideology and the identity of a lot of these type of central swing voters.
But he's the most palatable of them, because it's like, oh, he talked to us.
Biden?
No, Bernie is like...
Bernie, right?
Because Biden he's comfortable to them, but yeah. Bernie is also like, oh, he went on Fox News that time. Oh.
We'll see. It's still early, but I do think, especially because of the legitimate importance of just symbolic importance of impeachment. There have only been 4 impeachments in the history of the United States, this being one of them. So it's not just a casual affair. And if we sit here and we say basically it started with Joe Biden, unfortunately, it's not his fault that like this ridiculous situation happened, but it's going to nag at him. Yeah, you know, it was pretty gross. It's pretty shady. You know, there's no way really around that. But was it illegal? Is it worth all of this like hubbub? No, not in the least bit. Not at all. I'm sure Barack Obama's brother, that I'm sure he was getting mad juice in Kenya. Remember when he came to the debate like on Trump's behalf?
He just stood there, he's mad. He's like, I'm here.
I'm sure he was getting plenty of juice off that name. I mean, just a lot of people, like, this is just common human, like expected to a degree. Finessing. So, bad luck. So that'll leave an opening. I think that'll be actually like a casual bleeding of his approval ratings and his successes in these primaries. I actually think the decline will probably be a bit more precipitous with Bernie if he can't show within the next few weeks that he can be back up there.
We can't. So we can't have Bernie's.
We can't have Bernie's. I'm just rolling the guy out there. Shit. Can we just Skype him? Skype my man's in. Yo, just Skype him in. So.
Why is they gotta be Bernie, dog?
This is the gamble that we take.
They walking around like a puppet and shit.
This is the gamble we take when these niggas are this old.
70% tax rate. His arms moving.
I mean, shit, I'm with it, but you know, they this old. So these are the.
Can we talk about my young sexy president?
Who's your young sexy president?
Gavin Newsom.
I thought you were gonna say your boy Mayor Pete.
Oh shit, Mayor Pete, he's a bad bitch.
Gavin Newsom is damn near the president. He's the president of the sixth largest economy in the world.
Most important state.
Damn, more important than New York. You want to move? Go ahead, move. Get out if you don't like it here.
Oh, damn it. Well, see, New York is a city state. All right, shit's like Singapore. So you know.
Nah, you gotta fuck with upstate, son.
Nigga, usually app. You went apple picking and shit. You try to go apple picking before it get too bad.
It's apple picking season.
It's apple picking season. It's the only time people care about upstate. Yeah. It's like, I'm trying to get to Warwick.
Take the train out the Metro North.
Shit. Getting that cash, spend $80 to get $6 worth of apples. And then don't know what to do with them. We got apple pie. We're going to make apple cider. We're going to make apple juice. Oh, man.
Should be riding by the time you get back.
Tragic. That's why you gotta eat them out after. You eat them when you're out on the farm, and you're like, get one, wipe it on your leg. Oh, it's like, this is how it used to be.
The air is fresh up here. On the Catskills. I do want to go to Catskills or something soon, but shit, you got Niagara Falls. You never been to Buffalo? You don't fuck with Buffalo?
You've been to Buffalo?
I'm playing. I've been there, but I was being facetious. I drove through. What you mean?
Exactly. You drove through.
I actually think I stopped to get something to eat or get some gas.
And they was looking at you. And he was like, oh.
Stop. I'm cold.
Sir, are you a traveler? I'm Mr. Amir Bills fan. Gavin Newsom, man. Mm-hmm. He brought the wild flex and brought a bill to Uninterrupted to sign to give NCAA players.
Hold on, he signed the bill on
that was
on
the whole that was the whole
point. On the shop on the yes. Oh shit.
He gave LeBron his first big get. He's like, get our first big get for the show.
Big flex.
Yeah, to allow NCAA players to make money off their likenesses. Ed O'Bannon was in the building, Dana Taurasi, whoever they can scrounge up at the time. I'm glad that it happened. And in terms of politics, I was like, damn, Gavin Newsom, he's the next guy, he's the next person up.
Young Gav,
Big Gav.
Young Patrick Bateman.
Yes.
As I said before.
Yes. So I don't know where it's gonna really lead, because NCAA, I mean, like, they released like a statement, of course. He was like, we don't fuck with this.
Yeah, no, sure.
It's like, you know, this is what they want to do, but no, we don't like it. But, which is fine for them to say that, but I think it's that first big swing. It's the first big swing that's going to chop it down in the middle, and people will decide to change it up and not go for what's been status quo for so many years.
Yeah, I wonder exactly what the text of the law says.
And that's another thing. It's not about all the things people are complaining about. So what are you? We're paying athletes now. I was like, no, it's not about paying athletes. It's not till 2023 after this next segment of kids gets through. And what it is that it allows them to make money off their own likeness. It's not about the schools.
The school's actually paying them.
Yeah, so which is like, well, yeah, it's my name. Why can't I go and go to the local dealership and be like, I'm gonna help y'all sell some Hyundai Sonatas and shit. Like,
oh shit,
that's fine.
Get that Zion Sonata.
Because a lot of the major, I guess, sports figures over the past, I don't know, 10 or 15 years have all had shit to say about it. I mean, you just saw Tebow's like crying complaint that he was for it, he's against it, and all these things. So it's just kind of like, I'm excited that this whole thing that we've been talking about forever is finally making a leap. It's like, oh, laws change things. Great.
Yeah, progression.
Because like Ed O'Bannon, 1995.
UCLA.
1995, dog. This is
what's up with his brother? 25 years ago. His brother wants him not to make money.
Was it Charles?
I think Charles.
I don't know. I thought they was gonna be nice, and they just I don't know. I was like six, so whatever.
What Lil Wayne say? I leave you missing like the fucking O'Bannons. Remember that?
No.
Remember that?
No.
Oh, man. That was about Cannon. Remember Cannon?
Oh, okay. Cannon.
Listen close. I got duct tape. I hope I leave you listen like the fucking road bandit. Oh, bandits. One hand on my money. One hand on my buddy. That's the AK-47. Make this neighborhood love me. Lil Wayne was MVP of the second half of the arts. Everybody knows that.
Indeed. Though. Indeed. Yeah,
for sure.
Multiple times.
Yeah. Multiple times. LeBron status. No, this is dope. This is just like clearly... Clearly is a fucking not a full conclusion. What am I trying to say? I'm falling over my words.
It's a long time coming.
It's a long time coming. That's what the fuck I was trying to say. Sorry. So now this slow chip is has already happened. The facade of the NCAA has been cracked, and this is going to continue to happen. I actually saw that similar legislation is being considered in Florida, of all states, and it will continue to happen until the NCAA capitulates.
That's a funny thing, too, but it's in Florida, because it's like, in reality, if you were a Republican, you would be for this.
Yes, because it's a general market-based libertarian idea.
Yeah.
Clearly. This is extremely socialized, actually, if you think about it, and it's definitely a mass... disproportion of management relations to labor, right? Like there is an exchange that happens, right?
Yeah,
you get an education and a relative stipend, I guess, that they've received over the past few years. The NCAA has allowed, but that, especially at the larger schools, at your UCLA's, the basketball programs,
the organization gets billions of dollars.
Yeah,
and that's
you get over your 4 years, If you're Ed O'Bannon at UCLA in 1995, you lead your team to the NCAA championship. He got probably, I don't know about adjusting for inflation, I'm just ballparking, right? There's no way that he got over,
let's say it was 200 grand.
No, like for all 4 years.
I was just being like, I don't know what it was then, but let's say 200, fine.
Yeah, let's say like 200 grand.
How much were ticket sales on like two games?
Not just to, well,
I'm just saying, like,
it even was just like, look at like profit, like pure profit, bro. Like,
it's just like
the whole season, they won the national championship. They made national championship merchandise packets and whatnot, t-shirts and film and hats, like all of that shit, posters, all of these things with his imagery on it. He's spoken on the story multiple times before.
And outside of the school, you're talking about third party. So whatever the deal they have with whatever media org.
Yeah, and that,
so that's a guaranteed.
Yeah, I've heard his anecdotal testimony on this multiple times where he said when his kids or when his, like nephews or something like that, they were playing NCAA basketball years ago.
Yeah,
and they had the historical like some of the best teams of all time on the game. And his likeness was on the game, but his name wasn't on the back of the jersey.
Right, because he's like, oh, we don't want to. Oh, we can avoid it. We just make somebody that looks like him.
Yeah, and he was like, nigga, that's me on the game, and that's was partially the impetus for him to really push forward on this, because it's just an absurd notion that this is somehow okay, and everybody is just because of the just general molasses like inertia, yeah, of massive institutions. Like you just think like this shit is okay because it's always been like this, but it's not. Is honestly not. Nobody is arguing for college sports to go away. They just got to figure some different shit out, period, or just not have them. I think I was arguing on my end the other day when we were talking about HBCU sports that like Morehouse should not really have a sports department or like a big time one, because why? At the end of the day, realistically, we've convinced ourselves that this shit is because it's grown up with communities and whatnot, and everybody either yells, Roll Tide or War Eagle all through Alabama. Like it has to be like that, and it doesn't. Like people from across the country go to Alabama because the football team is good. How does that make any sense?
It doesn't. It
doesn't. But we've just told ourselves that it does because that's the way it's always been. But it doesn't really have to be like that,
especially for like a state school. The idea that a state school is like, we're doing marketing for the school. That's what it is. Essentially, it's like, wait, so someone's gonna come and pay more to come to Alabama, and they don't play football. Like, I guess it makes money all as its own internal business, which is fine. But the idea, like, that it is an integral part of school is just like, come on, man. Like,
I'm sure Alabama football as a brand right now is worth more than what's like a shitty NFL team,
Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars are not shitty though. Yeah, no, the Dolphins.
But also the brand of Jacksonville.
Okay, yeah, the brand is kind of back swampy, yeah. So I was actually, honestly,
Dolphins got legacy swag.
Yeah, sure. Honestly, the Jaguars came to mind, but I didn't want to say that. But yeah, exactly, some shit like that, where it's just like, come on, dog. Like, let's be real. And finally, people are being real, and there's enough power in place to where they can actually push forward with this type of legislation and these proposals. So it's really just a long time coming.
Because, like, Reggie Bush still can't come back. This shit,
yeah, because the Boosters bought his family a crib and shit.
It's like, come on, man. This man is like one of the greatest college football players ever.
Crazy, the Bush push. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
You seen him cut across that field?
What, the Fresno? Oh.
They still show highlights. They still show Reggie Bush highlights and whatnot too, which is funny. Like ESPN shit, but they never just bring up that
he's not Heisman anymore. Now this is a read. That's an aside read. That's about this. So they're renovating the Coliseum and they're going to do a big memorial. Mm-hmm. And the issue right now is, are they going to include the Jews?
The Jews? Ooh.
There's not Reggie first, but it's like Reggie, I think he still has a couple more years or something where he's not supposed to be there. But it's also, how are they going to not include Reggie Bush, but include
Jews? Damn. Yo, real talk, I would include him, son. I would.
Who, both?
That's a quick thing about it quickly.
It happened. He was nice.
Yeah, like, it was nice. The juice, man.
He's great Twitter presence.
He's
flourishing. He's flourishing on Twitter, yo.
Does he really have bars? Because I thought the CTE would kind of affect his grammatical skills.
He has good takes on everything, and he's very, like, congenial, and he's, like, mad positive. So anytime something happens, he usually has, like, the right take about it.
Mm.
He'd be like, hello, Twitter world. I know you guys been watching football lately, and this Antonio Brown, hey, you know, I want you to act better, young man. And then the other day, like, what's my man that got suspended? Vontaze Burfict? He goes, hello, Twitter world. Now, football's changed a lot since I was playing. But, Vontaze, I don't know if you can keep doing this, man. We've seen what happens with the CTE and all that. And
you see me.
You see me out here baking my brain on a golf course. You can, but it's just like a weird thing where he's growing. Like, I get it third party. I really don't follow him anymore, but people will like retweet him. Okay. And it's like hilarious. So the fact that we're in a space where Reggie Bush may or may not be able to include in this shit, but OJ is going to be considered, it shows you that this financial impropriety of this whole system is just absurd and corrupt. And I'm glad we can move forward.
Let us move forward. Let us move forward.
DJ.
Yes.
This is, I don't call it a downer or is it an upper, but
melancholy.
We've had our first, I don't want to call it a win.
Since we're OJ?
I mean, low key. A split decision.
Nah, since the guy that killed, what's his name? Walter Scott or whatever. Remember the cop?
Yeah. He was running away or whatever.
Yeah, that was wild. It's all bad.
But if you're unaware, I mean, maybe you are, the Botham Jean murder case, off-duty police officer Amber Geiger, mistakenly, drunkenly, supposedly, I don't remember the whole story, goes into his home. He's chilling on his couch, shoots him, fails to administer any sort of first aid, and he dies in his home, received only 10 years in her sentencing for murder. And she got a murder. She didn't get the manslaughter charge. She got a murder charge. And it's a weird space where it's like so clear as day for her to do something like that and to get that few of years considering drugs and all the like things that they can give you for a charge like that, upwards of 20, 25 years or things like that. And we're in a space now where at the end of the trial, his family, first of all, the judge and his family felt the need to forgive her with the little brother having his big brother being murdered in cold blood, hugging this woman and, you know, forgiving her supposedly. And, you know, it's big on Twitter. It's big out in the world. But it begs the question where we're like, do black people feel the need to do this? Is this just like this cultural thing? This is the forgiveness thing. People are really upset about it and all that kind of stuff. But for me, I'm just like, I don't really need the forgiveness. And it doesn't bother me. It doesn't make me feel some kind of way. But I would love if there was like, you've seen the new flag in NFL. I don't know if you're still anti-NFL, but you can like challenge a penalty.
Oh, shit.
So somebody does pass interference and you're like, wait, that's not pass interference. You can throw a flag on it. So like with this appeal, I would love to be like a reverse appeal. It's like 10 years. Throw that flag out. That's got to be 20 years. You gotta get at least 20. Somebody die, you got to get at least 20. I'm sorry.
It's based on the jury, right?
Yes.
This case, for one, I don't know what the actual rubric is or even should be for how much time someone should be incarcerated for any crime, let alone murder. You're correct to say that the variety of sentences that people get for the multitude of crimes are just completely out of whack more times than not and have little to no rhyme or reason, or at least it appears so. I know there have been relative improvements to the criminal justice system over the past few years, but one hopes that that continues on, and I'm probably more of a proponent for a bit more leniency than
you know what, the stern hammer of justice. Boom.
Well, yeah, because that's an ideal and ethic that grew out of time from a particular puritanical time in which a lot of these, well, at least the idea of the American justice system was conceived, where there was a lot of that kind of almost Hammurabi or
eye for eye shit.
Yeah, very, very, very cut and clear punishments for things. that, especially over the subsequent crime wave and mass incarceration that happened throughout the 90s and early 2000s, led to a lot of people being in jail for mad fucking long. And sociological studies have shown that in the aggregate or on the whole, for society as a whole and for a lot of communities, that shit is just not good to just have people in jail for mad long. So I'm down with turning down a lot of these sentences and mandatory minimums from what they are. All that said, I don't know. I don't know if 10 years is enough. I don't know if 20 years would be enough. I don't know if 25 years of life would be enough. I don't know. Especially based on the context of this case. It's weird. I don't want to totally draw conclusions or this, that, and the thirds. And I also don't think I'm in a position to even do too much theater criticism of how the people within that courtroom interacted, all besides the judge, maybe, that had this like this kind of what would you call it, like an intervention with the lady?
Yeah, that was a little much
a little on the nose, because I'm not sure if she would do the same thing with no, you know, some black guy that did the same shit. I don't know about that.
She wouldn't.
That was a cop or whatever. So but it was refreshing to see that I guess this guy Botham Jean and his family, you said they were from St. Lucia, clearly still abide by and are fairly religious, fairly Christian in their lifestyles and practices regardless of the circumstances. And one of the main tenets of Christianity, as you may know, is it's basically mandated you have to forgive every right. time. You may not be okay with it, but essentially that's what the guy said, I believe, because he just hopes you receive God's grace or something along those lines, I think I saw in the quote. So that's admirable. I actually have to say,
You gotta respect it,
because they don't want to live with that as well, especially if they're trying to live the type of religious life that they're living. They don't want to live with that type of grief and anger at this woman. It's not good for anybody. So I can't even view it cynically. A lot of us, especially because they were relative immigrants, I guess, right? They weren't first generation American living here, right?
No.
So your average nigga on Twitter or whatever, we're a couple standard deviations from any like really devout Christian practice. So
it's just all cynicism and right. people just like shitting on anything that has any kind of fealty to some sort of morals that right. aren't some snarky bullshit.
Yeah. Or like a just immediate comeuppance.
Yeah.
Or that same American puritanical retribution that I just mentioned, because we're all just kind of used to that. And that is what is also affirmed in society in so many different places, from politics and law and business on upwards. So we're all just always in this relative rat race trying to get one up on one another or fuck one another over. It's you know, still refreshing in these moments to see that that they were able to put that aside and really get back to first principles for that, especially in such a tragic situation, you know. But I could understand on the other end if it was like, you ever seen that clip of the guy that like dives across the courtroom
for the guy that killed his daughter, I think? And they beat up that guy in the court. Yeah. People were like,
right. So I mean, there's two sides to that.
What you're saying, I think that we, the internet, shouldn't shit on this family. Like regardless of our own internal, all this psychological, cultural shit that people want to be mad about between white people and black people. These people want to hopefully deal with and move on from this grief with their son. And they've chosen to do so. So I like to be like, all right, I respect that. And I'm really wanting to be snarky and shitty about people's shit. So I let them out.
Right. And if you see them leading with that, then you have to, you don't have to, but at least I'm going to withhold on the snark, as you're saying, because they put it in a respectful light. If they didn't say anything, then the snark could go. But they're leading with that, with that morality, with that Christian faith and ethic. So you just gotta respect it. It was a terrible circumstance, and it's not just shit happens, but it's always just.
But shit be happening.
Shit be happening. One thing that was interesting though is that as a last ditch effort, the defense tried to establish this legal ideal for, you know, like the castle doctrine, in which there is legal doctrine that makes it practically legal to kill anyone within your house that you deem a threat.
Right.
So realistically, Brandon, I was about to give away the location, but if you were at my house, I could kill you.
Oh, shit, don't give me with the burner, dog. All
right, yeah, you know, I got to feel the burn again. Boom, call back. So they tried to use that and subvert it to where, since Amber Geiger, the off-duty officer who came, who
felt like she was in her house,
who did she break into his,
it to was the like house? Slightly ajar.
The door was open or something. Since she thought she was in her house, she had the legal, this is the idea that they're trying to put forward, but she had the legal right to kill this man because she thought so.
It's crazy, man. Like, I mean, just like, I mean, I know why they did this.
Last ditch, it's like a Hail Mary.
Yeah,
that was a little unseemly to me. That might have pulled God's grace from your ass if you would have brought that to me.
And everyone was trying to say it was a good like legal move because it ended up being like they're not going to appeal on that because you know that's like a easy appeal in like Texas. Like, well, you know, castle doctrine. So now they potentially can't because it's already.
I don't think the jury is really having that, but the law is much more malleable than people care to admit, especially if you have good representation or creative representation.
Yeah, man.
So
I learned my jury duty lessons. This shit's all.
It's finesse. It's all a finesse. So, yeah, they tried to flip that shit. It didn't really fly in court because it also would have just been a terrible legal precedent. So you could, like, the judge, any reasonable judge, like, you just can't be that. Like, anybody could kill anybody, then, realistically. Like, you could just walk anybody's
house. I'm pretty sure that is the law in Texas, though. So.
You think that's the law in Texas?
Yeah, you just get busted.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, since Wild West days, I know.
Exactly.
But, no, I'm saying in this case specifically, though, with... If you think you're in your house, though, not just on the street and somebody look at you wrong, you turn into
the street's your house.
You turn into Dirty Harry. You say what?
What if the street is your house?
Ooh.
See?
Ooh.
Ooh, galaxy brain.
Yeah, that was a galaxy brain thought, right? It's fucked up stuff.
Anything positive, DJ, before we wrap up the pod?
What do we have that was positive? Besides Trump getting impeached, that was like somewhat of a positive. You gonna see Joker?
That's what it was.
Is that positive? That's like,
I mean, it's also some nihilistic shit. Yeah. Now you can't go because they're like undercover security is gonna be at all these fucking.
Seriously?
They have like undercover cops supposedly going to all these different screenings, whatever, to like protect against something happening. Sure, I'll go see it. You know, I showed you the Laffy Taffy meme, right? Laffy Taffy Joker on Twitter. If you guys are want a good laugh. And that made me laugh. So, and I've heard it's a tour de force from Joaquin Phoenix. So, sure, I'm down. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, the reviews are a little bit up and are kind of up and down. Everyone says that the Phoenix's performance is A1, but on the whole, the film might be a little drab. But maybe you'll come back and give us a review.
Yeah, it looks very orange and brown. Just the yeah, it seems
yeah,
like.
Yeah. Yeah, you and the incels, right? That's all it's going?
I mean, I guess. I don't know.
And the artistically curious? I mean, yeah. I may check it out. We'll see. Yeah. Movie tickets are kind of expensive.
Yeah, man. It's not, I don't know. It sounds like perfect.
Where do you usually go when you check it out nowadays?
I mean, where?
Yeah.
Either Regal or AMC, because Jazz has free movie tickets. That's why.
No. Okay, you named the theater chain. Like, which one? Like Court Street?
It doesn't matter. Like, whoever, like,
oh, you just be finessing. Okay.
Yeah, fine. I ain't going to Court Street. Never again. I had too many bad experiences.
Yeah, it's not the best. Could use a nice little reno.
Clientele, renovation, everything. It's just.
Yeah.
Well. Smell the grapes in the lake. I am not an elitist, and I will go to any movie theater in Brooklyn and not judge people there.
You just killed our Court Street AMC theater sponsorship I was working on, Brandon. Shit.
I know, right? Damn.
Especially with that pod idea. I mean, not the pod, but that other project we're thinking about.
We'll be there. We'll make fun of it. It's like, y'all are all allowed to be here, even though I don't want you here. Mm. But welcome.
Yeah, we don't really want to be here, but... Yeah. That's cool.
So, I know. Y'all stay black out there.
Yeah, stay black. Stay, stay safe. Shit.
Yes, stay black, stay safe. Keep listening to the pod.
Stay healthy. And you're old, young.
And stay healthy.
Drink water.
And stay suave like Young Gaff.
Slick your hair back.